Jesus is our Savior, He is our coming King, He's our Sanctifier, and He's our Healer. I just love the songs today. I was enjoying, and I'm here like, this is good to be in the house of the Lord. But you know me, I've been here. I'm here like, if you come into the house of God and you need a healing touch, I would hate to have, when I'm a pastor, somebody leave and saying, hey, I came into the house of God and I did not get the opportunity to have somebody pray healing over me. And I would that would just break my heart, because Jesus is our healer. And I just, I'm looking at Janine back there, who went to a healing service, and God just did an incredible thing. And her testimony, and you know what? There are testimonies of people who just get healed by standing. They didn't have to come forward. I asked him, I said, do you have any anointing oil? And I'm here like, I know this is, it's there. So I don't know. If you would like to be anointed with oil after service, I have some. There's sometimes that you just say, man, I've stood up. But the scripture says, call for the elders of the church and the laying of a hand, and say, oh my goodness, well, we'll wash our hands afterwards. But I just believe God heals. And I believe it so much. I believe that God speaks. And one of the things I you mind if I share a little? This is not in the message. It's just not. Most of you know that my brother-in-law has cancer. He has cancer in the brain, in the hip, and in his legs. And I was not too happy with the Lord when He told me to talk to my brother-in-law about heaven. And I was, on Wednesday, the people were going into prayer meeting, and people asked me how I was doing. And I said, I'm kind of mad at God. Not like I'm mad, or, you know, I'm not furious. I wanted to go to my brother-in-law's house, lay hands, and have God heal him, because He's done that to other people. I've seen Him do it. And pastor went, and I was talking to some people, and they went in and said, we need to pay Pastor Andy. He's kind of down. He's angry at God. And I'm like, when you hear somebody else say it, it just doesn't come across right, does it? And so Pastor James came in and he talked with me, and which was great, because what he was saying to me was that made me feel good. You want to know what he said? He said, the Lord trusted you enough to tell you what He's going to do. And that made me feel so much better. It's not what I wanted. How many get what we want from the Lord all the time? But we always get what we need. And it was kind of cool, because I was so busy being frustrated and angry that God was not healing my loved one. I'm here like, I want to talk to Him about the miracle and the power of healing. And the Lord didn't. And you say, now, Pastor, now you want us to stand up? Yeah, because I know He does. Just because He's gracious and he loves us. So if you would like to stand and say, Lord, I need a healing touch. My back's hurting. I have this. I have, you know, whatever the issue may be. It's between you and the Lord. I don't need to know any of that. But He does. If you'd like to stand for God to touch you, you're more than welcome to stand at this time. And I'm going to just ask the Lord to do a miracle. Heavenly Father, you see your kids standing. Lord, it doesn't mean that we didn't stand last Sunday or last month, but Lord, we are coming before you as your children saying, Lord, would you touch us? Would you heal us? Lord, there is pain in my side. I'm thinking of my brother-in-law. There's cancer. Lord, there are others' situations, Lord, that we are asking that by your stripes, which in Isaiah says that we are healed. By the stripes on your back, we are healed. And so, Father, I pray for a healing of your people right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I hope the Lord touches you. I hope you felt, you know, some people when they talk about God touching them and healing them, they felt a warm sensation, electricity go through. And if that happened to you, praise the Lord, I'm excited because the doctors are going to get a little less rich. And that's okay. I'm thankful for doctors. Don't get me wrong. I am very grateful for those who have studied and those types of things. God can heal in any way he wants. And I am grateful. Now, we've been in a series on the altars in Genesis. The last time I preached this series, there was only four. I really don't know how many there are. I emailed David last night, and I said, here's the scripture, Lord willing. But I thought I was going to preach on this, and then I saw this, and then I saw this, and then I'm here like, Lord, I don't want to preach on that. And the Lord said, yes, you are. I'm here like, no. I've never preached on this. I did a search, and I've never preached on this section. Now, I've done studies through Genesis and all of those things, but I've never preached on this section. This section is usually a sub-point of a point on tithing. And but I want to get the Bible talks about real stuff. I want you to go into. I hate to do this to you, but I want you to go to maybe that telephone call that woke you up in the middle of the night. I want you to go to that place where you. And for me, it was the telephone call that Brian has cancer in his brain and this and that. And your life kind of turns upside down. And because that's where we're really going to be. And today, it is really upside down for Abram. I mean, really, really, really bad. Maybe it's that watching on the television you saw. And you saw the planes and the bombs dropping in Iraq. And all of a sudden, you know you have a brother in the military. And you're wondering why he hasn't been really talking because they can't talk. I want you to go to that place. Because that's where the rubber hits the road in real life, isn't it? And you know, I got ahead of myself again. Because there are some people that haven't been here. So I'm going to do a quick review of the five messages beforehand. One, you have Cain and Abel, which is give God your what? Best. And not your leftovers. And the second was Noah, right? Noah, is, you give God an offering of thanksgiving once you completed your ark. And we talked about completing your ark. And whatever that is, God wants you to do that. And when you complete it, you can offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise to God. And then we went from, I'm going off the top of my head. Then we went from there to Abram. And Abram had two offerings. One is when he got into the land of Canaan and he offered an offering. And then he kind of got distracted and went down to Egypt. There was a famine and then he came back. And that message was, go back to the last place you heard God speak to you very clearly. If you're lost, if you're distracted and you're getting lost in your faith and those types of things, God is saying, go back to that last place where I talked to you and we'll meet together and we'll start a relationship afresh and anew. And then last month, we talked about the altar of surrender. It's not there's another altar of surrender that is even more. But if you walk with Jesus and if you walk with God a long time, you will find that there's always an altar of surrender coming. Right? Yeah, you know. And this one had to deal with me, kind of death to self, a surrender, because Abram gives Lot a choice between the best and he gets the leftovers. And Abram put Lot, somebody above himself, just like Jesus does with you and I. So here we come to this place in Abram's life where things are really, really bad. I started in Genesis 14, verse 8, but there's verses 1 through 8. all I'm doing is saving you a long list of names. We're here the same list of names again. But there's basically five kings fighting four kings, and they fight and fight and fight. Okay? And there's war. But you know what that means? That means there's real people dying. That means there's real people with their arms cut off. That means there's real dads not coming home. That means there's real women being raped. It is bad. But fortunately for us, it's just like a, it's just a story of five or six kings fighting, and that's basically all the Bible says, because that's not the important thing. Because basically those kings are just worshiping their king, which is Satan himself. So we get to this place, and let me tell you what happened. The five kings beat up on the four kings, and they kind of made them surrender, and they were living under the rule of one of the kings. And this is where we come in. So if you will, stand for the reading of God's word. Genesis chapter 14, starting at verse 8. Genesis chapter 14, starting at verse 8. Then the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, the king of Zeboim, the king of Bela, that is Zoar, marched out and drew up their battle lines in the valley of Siddim against Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, the title kings of Goyim, Amraphel, the king of Shinar, Arok, the king of Elasar. Four kings against five. Now the valley of Siddim was full of tar pits, and when the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some of the men fell into them, and the rest fled to the hills. Four kings seized all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food, and then they went away. They also carried away off Lot, Abram's nephew Lot, his possession, since he was living in Sodom. One who escaped came and reported this to Abram the Hebrew. Now Abram was living near the great trees of Mamre and the Amorite, a brother of Eshcol and Aner. All of them were allied with Abram. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out 318 men born in his household, trained men born of his household, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. During the night, Abram divided his men to attack them and routed them, and pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus, he recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possession, together with the women and the other people. And after Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer, the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Sheba, that is, the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram and saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be the God of the Most High who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abram gave him the tenth of everything. So that's your offering. That's your altar right there. Just Abram gave him a tenth of everything. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I've raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or a thong of a sandal, so that you may never be able to say, 'I made Abram rich.' I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to these men who went with me to Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them have their share." Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd open up your word to us today. May we have ears to hear, eyes that see, and a heart willing to surrender to you. Lord, I give you this time. I pray for your anointing in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now I get what Dave was saying. He said he read it last night and said, "Where in the world is the pastor going to go with this?" How many's thinking the same thing? Be truthful. Yeah. I'm here like, oh my goodness. But I want you to pay attention to some things. There is like a regional war going up. Shinar, if you don't know, is Babylon. So you have a king coming from Babylon all the way into where Israel is at in Canaan. Shinar is where the Tower of Babel is, okay? So this is not little kings fighting each other. You don't, if you're a little king, you don't travel hundreds of miles to go defeat somebody, okay? Does that make sense? So this is real kings fighting each other. That's why, how many missed the miracle? 318 men destroyed the armies of four kings. Not destroyed them. All we know is that they attacked, got their people, and ran away, or whatever would happen. I don't know if he destroyed everything or whatever thing, but I'll tell you, that's a miracle. But we missed it, right? We just thought, oh, these are small armies going at each other, and 318 men, maybe they outnumbered them. I don't know. But there's a huge miracle here. Abram, he's not even a leader of a city. He's a nomad out in the desert, living his life. And he got a call, like you have. Lot has been taken. I have no idea what that would be like. To find out that your relative is a hostage. Taken from their homes, their homes destroyed and burned. I have no idea. I would think that's stressful. You would cry. That's good. I think I would too. But here's the situation. We all have similar things in our lives. That telephone call. But we also all have family going down the wrong road. Because the last time we heard about Lot, Lot's tent was facing where? It was facing Sodom. What do we find out now? He's living in Sodom. He's living in the wicked city and all the things that's going on. And guess what? Unless you're kind of ignorant, he's participating. And you know what? A lot of our families are in some of that kind of struggle. You've had the conversation with your family member. You know the drugs are not good for you. And they're still taking it. Hey, you know you're going into a lot of consumer debt. That's not good for you. You've had these conversations with them. And you're telling them stop and this or that. And they say, oh, you're just, you know, one of those crazy Christians who want to do everything right. You're just one of those. You just don't like to have fun and all those types of things. And you've been warning them and warning them. But guess what? When the things hit the fan, guess who they call? Somebody whose home is stable. Hey, can you hold on to my kids? This. The cops are coming. And guess what? It's all the way back here. In Genesis, Abram had the same problem. He has been raised the nephew. He helped the nephew get wealthy and everything. And he had everything going for him. And Lot just went in and fell in with the wickedness of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you say, Pastor, maybe your family is not like that. But I want you to see what the man of God does. Even though it's impossible, Abram loved Lot and said, my family's in trouble. Let's pull out everybody. He calls in the reinforcements. And you know what? I've been so interested in seeing family go through hard times. Some families, when they go through a hard time, they disintegrate and they fight and they yell and they scream and it's horrible. And I've been watching what's happened with my brother-in-law who got the word cancer 4-5 weeks ago now. And I've shown up with my best friend. My brother's shown up from Colorado. My sister has shown up from Florida. My other brother has shown up from Massachusetts. We all stopped our lives and put everything on. It's kind of like the telephone call comes in, and guess what? All people are on deck and getting going. And this is kind of what's happening with Abram, but even more extreme, isn't it? And maybe it's kind of an extreme of I don't know what you're going through. But there's often lots of situations like that. Your family's in trouble. And all of a sudden, what do you do? Well, the first thing that Abram does is call everybody together, doesn't he? Look at verse 14. It says he called out 318 trained men in his household. And then he went. He called things together. He got the resources. He got the resources around him and those types of things. And says, we're gonna take care of this. Is Lot a jerk? Probably. We all kind of assume that Lot is a saint and he's all doing this and that. I'm beginning to realize that habits are habits and it is what it is. And he goes. And he goes and help his family in trouble. And then during the night, he divides to conquer. And oftentimes, you're going to have to divide and conquer. You're going to have to take the resources you have, divide it, and it's amazing. He defeats the four kings that defeated the five kings. So four kings fought the five. The four won. Then Abram goes after them, and maybe they were exhausted from fighting, from war. Maybe they were licking their wounds and putting people together. And Abram had the surprise at night and came and did. And he had God's plan. So figuring out what God's plan is in that situation is hard. And you say, I didn't see anything about God's plan in those verses, Pastor. Well, that's because God affirms it in verse 17 and 18 when Melchizedek comes. But I want you to pay attention to something that as he has won and he's bringing home the spoils of war, he gets met in the valley by who first? The king of Sodom. The king of Sodom is wicked, evil, and bad. And he wants Abraham's attention. Does he get it first? No. Because the scripture says the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram, and when he comes out, the next verse is then Melchizedek. And you say, like, Melchizedek, that's the first time I ever heard of him. And guess what? It's the first time ever mentioned in the Bible, and then he doesn't mention him again until, I think, in Psalms, and then at the end in Hebrews chapter 7. Melchizedek, the name Mel, means king. Melech, when you hear the name Melech all the time, that means king. Hezedek means king of righteousness. So his name means king of righteousness, but he's not only king of righteousness, he's king of Salem, Shalom, which is peace, which also is Jerusalem. Okay? And if you go back and look at the names, you'd notice that the king of peace was not in the wars that they were fighting. Not only that, it says something very interesting is that Melchizedek is the priest of the Most High God. And I just like want to jump for joy because, you know, there's no Jesus followers or God followers except for Abram that we know of. And then all of a sudden he gets into an incredible war and God gives him a great victory and God sends him a priest to minister to him. He just had a fight of his life. He's probably, his arms are tired, his body's tired, he's sweaty. He's, you know, we think, oh, he jumped in the shower, whatever. No, he just got back from a war where his life was threatened, everything was threatened, his family was threatened, everything. It's horrible. It's a terrible situation. And God sends Melchizedek, and notice what he brings. He brings him bread and what? Wine. I love Genesis. You know why I love Genesis so much? Because I see Jesus all over the place. Because what's the Last Supper? Jesus brings what? Bread and wine to break and to bring healing and grace to his people. And if you notice, if you know anything about Hebrews chapter 7, you realize that Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Levi. So for the you Bible scholars out there, this is probably, some of you guys are checking out, some of us are checking in, right? You know, Melchizedek, check out, I don't care. But for those who care, Jesus comes after the order of Melchizedek because Melchizedek has no lineage. He has no father and mother. He has no genealogy, the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 7. But he comes with bread and wine. And I see Jesus come in and says, this is my body broken for you. Your families are broken up. Your lives is being destroyed. Those things are happening. But I want you to know I have the power to bring it together. I have the power to save. And Melchizedek comes and he gives Abram some bread and some wine. And then he blesses Abram. And I want to read it right from the Word of God because it's just powerful. Because Melchizedek says this. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And then he says, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hands. Who did it? God did it. And I can just see the 318 men, maybe the 310 or maybe 220 coming home. We don't know how many came back. It's war, folks. It doesn't tell us how many come back. I doubt all of them came back. But maybe they did. Maybe that was the incredible miracle that 318 went out and 318, and there's no women crying in Abram's tent that night over a lost loved one. It doesn't tell us that. What it does tell us is that when Abram comes back, he didn't even take the spoils of war and put them in the bank yet. He's not even home to Mamre yet. And the Melchizedek, the priest of God, comes out and meets him, gives him bread and wine, and blesses him. And he says, God was with you. And Abraham says, I know. And notice what it says in just one verse. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. First picture of tithing. This is even before the law of tithing. This is before Exodus. This is even before Leviticus, where it goes into all the details of making your animals go through this little place and counting every tenth one. It's even before that. It's because the law of God was written on Abram's heart. He was learning. He's growing with Jesus and growing with God. And he just gives him the tenth of everything. Now, listen to me. Don't you think that in Abram's mind, Lot just lost his home. He lost this. I'm going to have to rebuild his house. I'm going to have to give him stuff. I'm going to have to get my family back on his feet. And I'm going to have to do this. And there's people who've lost their lives. I'm going to have to help that family. I'm going to have to do that family. Don't I need to do all of those things first? No. The very first thing that Abram does is give a tenth to God. He's not even home yet. Abram keeps the first things first, and it blows my mind. Now I'm going to get, if that was hard stuff, now I'm going to get to harder stuff. And what I'm going to be talking about is, I don't know how the Lord will apply it to your life, but I'm still not applied to my heart and my mind yet, but this next section is kind of hard. When he comes and he meets the king of Sodom. You know what? Let's read it so I can clear. Oh, you know what? I can see it up there. So let's go to where he the king of Sodom comes and says, give me people and keep your goods for yourself, okay? What happens when you exchange stuff with somebody? If Abraham accepted all the gifts that he went, you know, he got the four kings took stuff from two kings, Sodom and Gomorrah, and he collected them all, and he just gave a tenth of everything to God. And then the king of Sodom says, you can keep the stuff, but give me the people, right? What would happen if he accepted that gift? It would have been, you were delivered by my hand, and you owe me. And what Abram was saying is, you don't owe me, you owe. I was just doing what God told me to do. And truthfully, I would have left you and just saved my lot. You're a bad, evil dude. Christian, I think the message that the Lord is trying to tell you today is, be careful who you make alliances with. Yeah, you fought on the same side. Kedorlaomer had Lot, so I had to take out Kedorlaomer to free Lot. And sometimes it's kind of like politics. Politics make strange what? Bedfellows, right? Be careful what you receive. Be careful what you take. One of the strangest questions I get often as a pastor is saying, if I won the lottery and I gave you $1 million, you're telling me you want to take it? And guess what? I'm saying, no, I wouldn't take it. But everything in me wants to take it. $1 million would do a lot of things for the kingdom of God, but it's tainted money. It's not good money. It's evil money. It's bad money. It's something we should not be touching. We should treat it like an idol, but we don't have that in the church today. We don't have that mindset in the church today. But I'm telling you, we need it in the church today. Abram saw an evil king coming. And the evil king says, hey, you're going to have all this good stuff. And guess what? The Satan will come and try to give you a lot of good stuff, and you'll get dependent on that good stuff instead of on who? On God. And it's happening in our culture all over the place. People are accepting things that they should not accept because it's putting them in bondage to whoever they are accepting it to. Some of you are looking and I can see you're thinking. Why is our culture going bad? Free money is a dangerous thing because there's no such thing as what? There's no such thing. And I've been doing some research on the black culture. I've been reading and listening to some horrible, trash, filthy language and all this kind of stuff. But I need to know, understand those things. But there's this section in this book that putting out this principle. And I'm here like, even they know this principle. And what was happening in the book, there was a black drug lord who had a stepson. And he was trying to give the stepson money to get him out of trouble, to give him out of money. And the stepson refused to take the money because it was blood money. It was money gotten by drugs, alcohol, and killing people. And he goes, I don't want that in my life. And I'm here like, oh my goodness. I'm here like, now I know why I went through all that trash. Because for you guys, it makes sense now, doesn't it? It's a little easier to see when it's a drug lord trying to give you money from this or that. But I'm telling you, wherever you're receiving funds from, whatever you're accepting the funds from, puts you in a relationship with wherever you're getting that funds from. And most of the time, I would say almost all the time, it's bondage to you and your soul. Think about this. You take a loan to the bank to buy a house. guess what? You're in bondage to the lender. That's what Proverbs says. And guess what? I feel that. I have loans on a mortgage. It doesn't matter whether you lost your job or not. You have to pay that. Right? So it's the same sense spiritually. And I want us to pay attention, Christians, that our alliances that we make, we might be going the same way. In other words, delivering the king of Sodom from the hands of those other kings was an after effect. Does that make sense? It was because Lot had a relationship with, no, because King Sodom had a relationship with Lot, who had a relationship with Abram, who had a relationship with God, they all got out of get out of jail free card. It wasn't because of Sodom, it wasn't because of Lot, and it wasn't because of Abram, it was because of God who delivered them all. Now, let's get to the point. Those who are listening online, hello. I forgot you were there. But anyways, I think some of this message might be for somebody listening online, but also for somebody here. Some of us put our place in the place of Abram. But I want you to put your place in the place of Lot. I wish it was a different story. Lot grew up with Abram. In other words, grew up in church. And you started doing stuff. And then you got a little older. You got wealthier and this or that. And you started not coming into church, not hanging out with God's people. You started doing your own things. And maybe you're watching online and you're still, your city is still in Sodom. You've already put it, your place in Sodom. And I'm telling you, when you live in Sodom, when you live outside of God's will, harsh things are coming. And I bet you almost every one of you who have lived in Sodom, there is some Christian that has bailed you out of rent, has bailed you out when you got in trouble, bailed you out when you went to jail, bailed you out when all these different things. There are Christians that have come and helped you out. And they're probably here in this room or your family members. There's Christian family members who have helped you out. And the Lord is saying, this is the time to repent. The day of salvation is now. You know what? Melchizedek is here now. You have been delivered now from a horrible, you've been delivered from a prison camp. It is now time to return to your roots. It is now time to return. You say, Pastor, you know, church is boring. Church is full of hypocrites. Church is this or church is that. But I want you to know, those Abrams that have saved your butt over and over and over again love you, and they will continue doing it and continue to do it, and they will continue to do it. But I want you to know there'll be judgment day coming. And it's hard and harsh. There was a day coming when Abraham, we're not getting there, but I have a feeling we will have to get there. We're going through the offerings of Genesis, and maybe I'm getting into next another time. But I want you to know today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to return. And Christian, the Lord wants us to look at our alliances that we've made and be careful not to receive stuff from those unholy alliances, because it will transfer your trust from God to them. Because notice what Abram said. If I accept this, you will say that you made Abram rich. That you are the provider of Abram. And I want you to know, no, you're not the provider. God's the provider. So Christians, be careful. There's a lot of things out there calling for your attention, calling for your money, calling for your resources. Be careful who you make alliance with. They may be in the same, they may have the same direction as you. Let me give you an example. Everybody have heard Black Lives Matter, right? Everybody's heard it, right? How many's gone onto their website to find out what they actually believed? It is a website won by three women, right? Three black women. But as I was reading through, there's some things I agreed with. I'm here like, that's wrong. You can't treat black people that way. That is definitely wrong. And then as I went down the list, I saw the things that were destroying the black community, which was gay, lesbian, transgendered, and all this kind of stuff. And they were putting that in there and saying, it's the same thing. And I'm here like, no, it's not the same thing. Because somebody's confused about their identity does not make that a good thing. And I'm here like, that's what destroyed the black community. Because if you know the facts, in 1970, 76% of black kids grew up with a mom and dad in the home. Now it's 24%. You want to follow poverty? Take dad out of the home. It's there. Black and white. And I'm here like looking at this thing, and I'm here like, there's things I agree with. But guess what? As a Christian, I can't support it. I can support racial justice. I can support anti-discrimination. I can support the things that is godly. But I can't support those things. I can't go hand in hand with that organization. Now, it's true. I support Black Lives Matter. Does that, you hear me? But I don't support the organization blacklivesmatters.com. Does that make sense? So be careful who you make your alliances with. We can do things together and we can work and accomplish things together. But the Lord is saying, be careful what you receive from them. And Abram does a great job. He sees, basically in my mind, if I was speaking to a black culture, there's a drug dealer, king of Sodom, trying to come and saying, you can have these things. Well, when a drug dealer says you can have something, it means there's a lot of ties and things connected to it. There's something coming back to him at his timing and in his place. And guess what? That's also true with others, not just the drug lords. And the Lord is saying, pay attention. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. I pray for those who maybe have sent their tent a little away from you, and then they set their tent a little bit more away. And Lord, there are some people that have not been in the church for 15 years, 10 years, 20 years, and they might be listening online right now, and the Lord, you are calling them home. You're saying, I don't want your end to be the same as Lot. I don't want your end to be the same. I want you to return. Lord, I thank you for believers who put everything on the line for their families. They love them. They care for them. They do everything that they can for them to know Christ and to have life more abundantly. But Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would help us. I pray for those who are lost, that they would be saved, that they would come to Christ and accept his forgiveness and his grace. I pray for us Christians who maybe have not been paying attention to who we ally ourselves with and what we say on Facebook and on the internet and all those different things. I pray that Christ would be lifted up, that our King, our Savior, and our Healer, and our Sanctifier would come in a powerful way. Lord, I pray for those who are worn out and those who are tired. Lord, that you would come with your bread and your wine through the blood of Christ, through the body of Christ, to have healing. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.